Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You realize every time we get together, it's a marriage retreat? We're the bride, he's the groom. We learn something about the groom. He learns something about us every time we get together. Amen. It should bring us closer every time we gather together. Amen. See, marriage is give and take. And what we've done so far in song service is we've given. And now God gives to you through the Word of God. And you have to realize the gift of God of giving us information. The only thing that we really have from heaven is this book, His words. Amen. And so I'm very grateful for it. Amen. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalms 73, I'm going to need some help tonight.
Amen.
Amen. This is not a book report.
Amen.
Psalm 73, just before 72, and verse 25, that's just after 24. It says in Psalm 73 and 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee." And then if you go to Isaiah 26, verse number 8, "Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Make it alive, make it fresh. But most of all, allow it to enter into us. God, not just our head, but our heart as well. Cause us to change because of it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday was the 29th anniversary of our church dedication on 11/11. It's hard to believe that was 29 years ago. I still see the whole service in my mind. Amen. Who wants to be here tonight? What about the rest of you? Are you hostages? Did someone force you to come? See, the enemy of the church today, more than ever before, is complacency. Yeah, I'll go. Is it really necessary? We live in a country that offers us a privilege of being whatever we want to be. We have freedom like no other country in the entire world. If we have a desire and will to accomplish, well, we can accomplish just anything. Doesn't matter what your upbringing was or where you came from. Our Constitution provides us that right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God gave us that right long before the Constitution was written. And Jesus said in Mark 11 and 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." It's an incredible thing. We have such power, according to what Jesus is saying, is you can have what you really desire. The question is, what do you desire? And sometimes our desire changes based on what's going on in our life. It is up to each of us to program our future, not only here, but for eternity. And how is it that there are many people who didn't have the privileges, but yet they have accomplished great things. Strong mentors? No, they didn't have that. Or finances? No, not even a good education, but they still determined because of a desire they have within them to accomplish something. And yet have accomplished so much more than others who have had privilege. We, church, have privilege like no other people on the face of the earth. The question is, what do you do with the privilege that we really have? In this life, nothing can be accomplished without some kind of desire and commitment. Desire is the fuel that fires the soul of success. If we don't have a desire, we are already defeated. Nothing will be successful in our life. We are all in a church because we had a desire to know more about God. Without that desire, we could be like a whole lot of other people who, well, yeah, that's fine for you, but I don't have a desire to seek God or get more information. Turn to a very familiar scripture in Jeremiah 29. I think I use this scripture more than practically any scripture in the Bible. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Especially when it comes to people who are faced with the reality of, do I want more of God? Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." It's a guarantee. If I search for God, if I want more of God, he's nigh. He's close to each and every one of us, but we have to approach him before he approaches us. Verse 14 says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all of the nations and from all of the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." So what God wants to do is bring you into the fold, but he's waiting. He's waiting. We used to sing a song, "He was there all the time waiting patiently in line behind all of the other desires that we've had, but on the day you seek me with all your heart." Now, that's true of visitors, but that's true for those of us that have been in this for 45 years or 50 years. Amen. I believe that complacency has ruined a lot of people, thinking that it's not important. The sin that was repeated in the Old Testament over and over again was the sin of Jeroboam. Jeroboam said, "Well, you really don't have to go up to Jerusalem. Let's just stay here. Let's make it easier for you." And by making it easier, people left God. I saw a little video some time ago about a little boy by the name of Jesse, a boy who was born with just stubs of arms, and I saw him playing basketball and making baskets incredibly. He could have been sorry for himself for the rest of his life, but he determined he was going to do something with what he had, not because he had the abilities like everybody else. No one can force us to do anything. God gave us a free will. It's probably the worst thing that could happen to you and me. You see, we get to choose, but see, the value is in the choosing. You chose tonight to come to church. That's valuable to God, you see. We could have stayed home. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But what do you desire tonight? We have got a desire for serving God, and that is a gift that we receive when we get the Holy Ghost. Remember, before you came into the church wasn't very important. The Word of God wasn't very important. But when we got the Holy Ghost, God installed a desire for more of God. We didn't even understand it. Why do I want to go to church now? Why do I want to read the Word of God now? Well, God gave us that desire. Hallelujah. Yet that gift needs to be stirred up in this marriage retreat that we have tonight. We're reacquainting ourselves with our spouse, if you will. Amen. To see how valuable it is. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 13. Paul is talking to this young preacher, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine," or teaching. "Now, neglect not the gift that is in thee," that's the thing that gives us the desire, "which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So he's saying, Timothy, if you want to save yourself, I know you're a preacher, but if you want to save yourself, these are the things you need to do. Church, if you want to save yourself, these are the things that we need to do. And then if you'll turn to 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse number 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So, hey, Timothy, you need to stir up the gift that is in you. Stir up the desire. Stir up those feelings that you had at the very beginning. Refocus, rekindle, refire up. Amen. What we're doing tonight, it's what we did this morning, we're stirring up the gift. We're getting excited about God again. Amen. I mean, how many times have you talked to somebody about coming to church? "Well, I don't need all that emotional stuff." Yes, you do. Glory to God. I don't know. I wasn't at the marriage retreat, but they probably talked about getting all excited about your spouse. You know, that works. Keep the relationship fresh. Same thing with God. Folks, that's what we're doing here tonight. And we are stacking all of the saints together to rekindle the fire. We're you know, if you just had two or three pieces of wood, it's not much of a fire. But you get a whole bunch of people together, and they're all saying amen, and they're all singing the same song. Now all of a sudden we're rekindling this thing to ignite one another to be on fire for God. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So what God is saying is, I've given you the desire. I've given you the will. If you're anything like me, I bought this thing. I don't know, do I really want to commit to a greater walk with God? And even if I do, will I be able to do it? And God's saying, yes, you can, because I'm putting something in you. I'm going to complete that which is started in you, but you got to work with me, you see. You got to want to, you see. It's imperative that we have a desire in our heart to live for God, and it is the Holy Ghost that keeps that desire alive with us. It tells us in the Bible that we build up on our most holy faith praying in the Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost, which keeps that fire alive in us Desire is defined as a longing for, to crave, to have an appetite for. What's your appetite for? What do you think about when you don't have anything else to think about? Who do you want to be with when you have extra time? That desire for God wasn't there at the first birth. But at the second birth, all of a sudden, our priorities have changed. Now, all of a sudden, we want to do the things that we didn't like to do and not do the things that we'd like to do. Amen. But you can revert back to church. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I wasn't looking for an excuse. Oh, my kid's got a test next week, and so maybe we should help him. My kids slept underneath the pews. Was that cruel? Take a look at Ezekiel. Chapter 36. I know this is familiar also. Starting in verse 26. This is prophesying of the Holy Ghost. It said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. And what's the spirit going to do? And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes or precepts, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So it's the Spirit of God that comes within us that gives us the desire and the strength in order to live for God where we couldn't before. I think there are so many people who have never even started to live for God because they felt, I don't have the strength in order to do that. I can't do it, and they're right. But it's Christ in you that allows you to be faithful and make that commitment. I have a desire to know God. A desire can't just show up because the music machine moves, or a special speaker, or a special service. Desire says, I've got to get to God. I can't wait until Sunday. In fact, I'm not going to wait until Sunday. I might come on Saturday morning, or maybe on a Thursday night, you see. A driving desire to know God and to please God. And it is that kind of desire that will deliver us from all kinds of defeats in our life. Like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Well, I want all things, and then I'm going to seek God. Well, it doesn't work in reverse. You first have to seek God. He knows what you want. The things that bother me probably the most is when I see people who have lost their desire to live for God. I see from time to time people dragging themselves to church. I fear for them because their days are numbered without desire. You can't motivate them with a little sermon. One service won't do it, you see. It was the difference between David and Saul. Saul lost his desire for God. There must have been this great desire for Saul, and God chose him as the first king, you know. He was little in his own sight, the Bible says, and God made him king. But then all of a sudden, his desires changed. And all of a sudden, he decided not to do the things that God asked him to do. In 40 years, Saul didn't one time inquire about the Ark of the Covenant. Not once. He was doing his own thing without God. Oh, he knew God. But he really wasn't that interested in the things of God, but in the things of his own kingdom. But the first thing that David did when he became king was inquire about the Ark of the Covenant. Let's find it. Let's bring it home. Let's have church again. David was consumed with his desire for God. He danced before the Ark. He didn't care what anybody else saw or felt. I want God. We need to be careful in the last little generation before the Lord comes. And I think we're getting closer and closer based on world events. We can lose that insatiable craving for God that we once received when we had the Holy Ghost. I remember someone being filled with the Holy Ghost in a service on a Sunday night, and they said, "Why don't you have service every night?" You know? But the older we get, because God will meet us at our level of desire. God is confined to the level of our desire, not the level of his desire. His level of desire is to give us life and love more abundantly, to demonstrate miraculous things in our life. Paul's desire was great, and God took him to a place that nobody else saw, to a third heaven. Heard things that it was not lawful to even utter. It can't be just another Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday. We can't come with the mind on leaving. Let's see, when did he start again? I'm telling you, that's what the flesh says. The flesh says, okay, I'm here, but I hope it's not a real, glory to God. Hallelujah. David said, I was glad. Moses was on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and he wasn't worried about missing the Packer game. He didn't say, well, I've got this thing. I got a schedule, God. You realize if our desire for spiritual things decrease, our appetite for the things of the world increase. It's just natural. When somebody backslides immediately, they go into things that they haven't done for a long, long time. The first time the word desire is found in the Bible is in Genesis 3 and 6. Would you turn there? Genesis 3, verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So God's given us certain desires that we want. I guess it's just a matter of where do we put them in our priority? She desired the tree more than she desired God, and she fell into sin. And then if we'll go to the New Testament in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 31, Jesus said this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, or Peter, Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So the devil has a desire over each and every one of us. He wants to reclaim us. He wants to take us out of the church, whatever he can. Over the years, I have recognized that some people just want to be saved. I understand that, but they got to the place where just being saved isn't enough, because you can't be saved if you just want to be saved. It just isn't enough in order to enjoy your salvation. And if we don't enjoy our salvation, if we're not excited about serving God, chances are we won't. Soon they'll become dragging themselves into church, And I don't want to be saved that way. I just don't want to be assured that I followed the plan of salvation, but that's enough, you see. I want to know the secret things of God. I want to have an intimate relationship with my God. Give me revelation, God. Give me insight. I want to know the voice of God in a very special way. Psalm 63:2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. If this is the only place that we get excited about God, you know, we're in trouble, folks. Amen. You see, I want what goes on in the sanctuary to happen in my life outside the sanctuary, not just when all of the conditions are right for worship, but I want a reservoir of divine resources to be with me at all times. Not that I have to work up a time to be with God, but I can touch God just as easy outside of the sanctuary as I can inside the sanctuary without a song service, without a preacher, in a restaurant, at my home, shopping. I could feel the presence of God even paying bills. Glory to God. I just can't count on church experience to sustain me. When I leave the church tonight, church isn't over. When you leave the church tonight, church isn't over. It's not that we pack up God, put him in a corner, bring him out again on Wednesday, you know. Am I the only nut here? Sometimes I think there's really something drastically wrong with me because I have these desires and not everyone does. I can't get enough of God in an hour and a half to sustain me. You know, and if that's, we're living on the scraps, folks, when there's a smorgasbord for everyone. See, church services stir up something in us. Amen. Glory to God. They increase our desire for God so he can meet us on a higher level. Take a look at Psalm 63, please. Verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul followeth hard after thee. What's the matter with David? Is he backslidden? No, he got a taste of God that caused him to go hard after God. Yeah, let's go to Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, verse number 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. I will give them a heart to know me. It's a gift of God that we want to live for God. It's not we have to live for God. There are religions that are telling us you have to do this and you have to do that, and there's something within us that rebels against that because we don't want to. The flesh doesn't want to. But when God gives us a heart to know God, you see, God's menu doesn't stop at Acts 2 and 38. God has so much more for each of us if we have that desire for more. Have you ever seen somebody walking their dog and their dog is behind them and they're kind of dragging them and their tongue is hanging out, you know? I don't want my walk with God to be like that. He's dragging me to church again and, you know, but I don't want to go. Sometimes I feel like I'm taking some people on a forced walk with God. I don't want to do that. This should be joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't give anybody that desire, but God can. God does not have a retirement program. He has a refiring program. Friday, I was with 15 retired pastors and their wives. And we spent 3 hours together, and it was like ducks out of water. You know? Like they didn't have any purpose. No, you never retire from God, you see. Whether you're a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or a saint, you just get refired. You don't retire. I don't see anything in the Bible that says that. One of my heroes in faith is a man by the name of James Kilgore. He had one of the largest churches, thousands of people in Texas, just a great guy, one of the greatest preachers. And then he retired, but he kept active in the ministry. And about 3 years ago, he died. He had fallen, and 2 days later, he died. And they went to his desk and found the notes of a Bible study that he was teaching at Starbucks. That's my hero. That's the kind of person I emulate to be like. Because you don't get to the place where now I can rest on my laurels, you know? Glory to God. Remember when Jeremiah just got tired of preaching to people who wouldn't respond? Remember reading that? Jeremiah told God, "That's it, I resign. I'm not going to do this anymore." But he didn't need to retire. He just needed to refire. And Jeremiah 20 and 9 says this, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Hallelujah. Now, that's the way I want to be. Because, you know, I've often thought, here a doctor gets all of this training, all of this education, and then they retire and they don't use it. Now, what has happened to each and every one of us, you've had all of this training, all of this Bible knowledge, and yet we're surrounded by people who know nothing about God. Well, let somebody else do it younger. They don't have the same experience or the same knowledge that you have. You know, Peter tried to resign, and he went on a fishing trip, but God wouldn't let him. God went after him. Jonah tried to resign, and he went on a boat tour and then a fish tour. And God said, "No, I think I still need you. I've got these people over here in Nineveh, you know. So if you won't, I'll get to you." Perhaps even some here that might consider resigning or retiring. Well, that same fire is in this place tonight. That same God is calling you back and saying, "You know, when's the last time you taught a Bible study? You have so much information. You have a chart in your closet. And yet there are people out there who don't have the knowledge. And what brought you more comfort? What brought you more joy than reaching somebody for God? It's the tree of life. He who wins souls is wise." Amen. Stir up the gift that is in you. to you to renew your desire for more of God. There is a great difference between a quitter and a recommitter. Have you ever had any disappointments? Oh, yes. I could quit every other day. And you could too. Thank God Jesus didn't quit. This service is designed so that you won't resign. God is here to stir up that gift and refresh us every time we get together. Hopefully you hear something through the Word of God. Hopefully you feel something during the worship. Amen. Glory to God. I remember talking to a lady in my office when I was working in a bank, told her about the things of God, and she didn't want to hear anything about it, but then she saw a movie called Left Behind. Most of you have saw that, and then she started asking me some questions about, now what do you really believe? And I said, you got to come to church and experience it. And so she came. First time during the announcements, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. Amen. All right, let's bring it down to where everybody can understand. Ever been to one of those all-you-can-eat places, Golden Corral? You know, they have huge, you know, platters of everything and desserts. People who need to go home and eat cottage cheese are walking away with three plates of food, enough to give a gorilla a hernia. And I think it's because they had a desire for food. And next week, they'll have a desire for more food. And the week after, they're going to have, on a Sunday, they're going to have a desire for more food. Hallelujah. Now, you can exist on cottage cheese or an amen, but it won't satisfy you. God set up a complete banquet table for us tonight, and every time we get together, all you can eat, as long as you're here, why not satisfy the craving that you have and get enough in order to satisfy you until we can gather together again? Don't go home hungry. Eat the cottage cheese of the world will not satisfy you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not enough to eat one meal a week. I shouldn't say this, but I'll probably hurt somebody's feelings. 20 years ago, something happened within our organization that said that cell groups were the thing that everybody had to have. And so we were going to have cell groups, and it was going to increase the church. And so a lot of churches decided they're no longer going to have Wednesday night services. They're just going to have cell groups. Well, eventually, all of the cell groups fell apart, and yet no Wednesday nights. See, you can get to the place where you have less church, and then all of a sudden you have less desire, and complacency walks in and says, it's enough. You know, as long as you're here, why not worship? As long as you're here, why not speak in tongues for a while? As long as you're here, why don't you talk in the Spirit and apply the Word of Christ in your heart? If you leave here empty, it's not God's fault. Hallelujah. You can be up to your neck in all kinds of problems and all kinds of pressures, and God wants to relieve those pressures for you, but you can walk out of here with the same pressures that you came in with. You know, you walk in and the greeters greet you, and you lay your problems down at the door, and then before you leave, you pick them up again and then you walk out. And God's saying, no, give them to me. I can take care of them. We all live at our self-appointed level. And it's our desire that determines our complete satisfaction with the things of God and in our life. What I recognize is that there is nothing else that will satisfy you but God. You know, all of these very, very wealthy people have 3 or 4 marriages and all kinds of homes and boats and planes, and they're not happy. Some of them commit suicide or overindulge in something, because God has designed us only to be completely satisfied when our desire is for Him and not for anything else. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because Psalms 27 and 4 says this: One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. The rich young ruler came to Jesus saying, what do I have to do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? And God told him what he had to do, and he walked away. And then Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. You didn't put me first. You put your riches first. Amen. I don't want complacency to creep into our church or into my life. Amen. But I can determine that, you know. I can stay hungry. I can stay thirsty. I can still want as much of God as I did from the very beginning. Amen. It doesn't have to deplete in my life. Glory to God. If our musicians would come. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen. Part of the conversation I had on Friday was, do people still spend time at the altar like they did years ago? Well, I thank God for this church, because I have some of the most incredible altar calls, enticing people to come. I say, the altar is open. And people come. Why? Because they're sinners? No. Why? Because they did something wrong? No. They just want to get closer to God. And as long as you want to get closer to God, oh, God's going to rush to you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's talking to God in the middle of the night. Amen. Church doesn't start a half an hour before church. It starts long before you ever get here. Amen. So here goes. The altar is open.